You have a copy of the Word of God, I invite you to turn with us to the Old Testament, Genesis, chapter number 1. And I'm going to begin reading this morning in verse number 26. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 26. I shared last week that, if the Lord willing, He's laid upon my heart to preach a series of messages on the family. And I believe that it is something that needs to be preached. I was challenged. An evangelist friend of mine made reference to the family and in his preaching, and said it ought to be required preaching for the pastor to share with the church, deal with the family, and deal with different aspects from being a man and a woman joined together in matrimony, as to being a parent, as to being a good mentor, as well as being a good follower, being a good child. And so with the Lord's help over the next several weeks, I want to touch on each one of those areas of the family. But I was searching and seeking as to where I might ought to begin. And God said you just need to start right there in the beginning. And I want to preach to you this morning on the thought of forming a family. Forming a family. So, Genesis chapter 1. Let's stand this morning in honor and in reverence for the reading of the Word of God. And I hope that you will embrace these messages. I hope that that God might do a work in our heart, do a work in our homes. Amen. Do a work in our church. So, see what God has to say to you through this text. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26, "And God said," boy, that's enough right there, amen. "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And you may be seated this morning. Forming a family. Now, in the day and time in which that we live, there are many different terminologies for what makes up a family. But I'll tell you, I'm not here to be politically correct this morning. Amen? I'm not here to be found acceptable in the eyes of the world. I believe that's what's wrong with the church in many respects today, is that we want to be acceptable amongst the world. Hey, I'll tell you what, the church is a called out group of folks. Amen? Hey, the Bible says we are peculiar, amen, in our being, in our thought process, in the way that we act, in the way that we conduct ourselves. We ought to be a whole lot different than what that the world really is. And so I'm not striving to be politically correct this morning or in the next several weeks as God gives us liberty and leadership to preach on the thought of the family. But in Genesis chapter 1, we see how that God has this first ordination or this first sanctioning over a covenant that is to be made between a man and a woman as they begin to form a family. Well, we see that most of all in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, first of all we see the outline of mastery. The outline of mastery. Now you say, what is mastery? I'm here to tell you what, God is the master, amen? He is the one that oversees. He's the one that forms. He's the one that allows things to come into being as they are. And we find that God had a thought within His heart. And He worked it out as He spoke these things into existence. God had been busy for about 5 days. He'd been busy creating. And He created the darkness. And He created the light. And He created all the earth and everything that's in it and everything that makes it into be what that it is. But God saw fit that He might create a man. Amen. And we find the Bible says there in verse number 26 of Genesis chapter 1, "And God said." Now that word God right there in the Hebrew is the word Elohim. It is plural in its being. Now, it's singular in its form, but it is plural in its original meaning. And that word God right there literally means Elohim. It speaks of one true God. Now, it's interesting to see what the Bible says throughout the rest of the verse. For the Bible says, and God said, let us. Amen. Hey, praise God. You can refute them old Jehovah Witnesses, Brother Andy, right there in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 26. For the Bible says, and God said, let us. That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Blessed Trinity, right there in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. So we see that God lays out the outline for what a family is to be. He says, let us make man in our image. Hey, God had a great desire to do a work upon the earth in which that He had created. And He said, I want to make a man. Now that word man right there in the Hebrew is literally the word Adam. And it's the word in which that Adam is known by, man is known by as being the first one. But we find the Bible says, I want to make him a little different than the animals of the earth. I want to make him a little bit different than the herbs of the field. I want to make him a little bit different than the fowls of the air. And the Bible says there, He says, let us make man in our image. Now He said, I want to him to be in our likeness. That word image describes the resemblance of a holy God. I want to remind you today that the animals are a little bit different than us because they cannot communicate. Amen. I believe now I'm gonna probably step on some toes. There's some animal lovers in here, and you love your dog, you love your cat, and you love your bird, and you love your cow, and you love your horse. And I'm not saying that they're dumb in no respect, but hey, praise God, we're set apart. We're different than the creation. We're different than all the other mammals that are upon the face of the earth. For the Bible says that we have been created in the very image, the very likeness, the very resemblance of a holy God. So God said, let us make them in our image. Praise God. Hey, we've got communicable attributes. As John MacArthur stated, that we are different in our rational life. Amen. Our rational life sets us apart from all the rest because we are able to have reason. We have intellect. We have a will within ourselves that allows us to strive to do things that other creatures cannot do. We go beyond that. We have emotions that build up and that form inside of us. And therefore, God says we are like Him. Praise God. God is a God of reason. God is a God of intellect. God is a God of will. God is a God of emotion. Hey, praise His holy name. He feels for us. He hopes for us. He loves us. He desires that we love Him. And the Bible tells us that we were made in His image, in His likeness. That word likeness means like as. We have similitude unto a holy God in our rational life. But we also, in the moral sense, in the very beginning, God created Adam just as he is. And the Bible said that He created him and that everything was good. And my friend, God is a God that is good. And in the original formation of man, He was sinless. He was pure. He was perfect. He was directly in the image of the Most High God. Now, things have got tainted along the way. Things have got disturbed along the way. And you can read the account in Genesis chapter 3 as to how that sin entered in and how that he was beguiled, he and the woman, by the serpent, the devil, and how that he brought them to that place. He said, you can be just like God if you partake of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we find that all those things took place and sin entered in, and it's been passed down from generation unto generation through the Adamic nature of mankind. But my friend, in the original formation, as God said, I'm going to make him in my image, my friend, he was good, he was sinless, he was spotless as God made him just as he is. So the Bible says there in the outline of mastery that he says, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. He said, I want you to have dominion, Adam. I want you as a man in our image, in our likeness, in our similitude, as you are like us rationally and morally. He says you're going to have dominion. And that word dominion means rule. It means that everything is going to become subservient unto thee. Everything is going to become subject unto you, Adam. And my friend, we find that as we walk out across the course of this earth, that everything kind of hunkers down unto mankind. Hey, animals are naturally fearful. If they respond, and we heard stories here in these old mountains of how the old panthers used to attack mankind, and how that they might kill or maul somebody. A lot of times they did that out of fear and not necessarily because they had dominion, because we know that everything in the beginning was created perfect and pure. And God said unto Adam, He said, you got dominion. Everything's going to fall underneath your rule. Everything is going to fall underneath your headship. And we find that God in His outline of mastery created these things. And then we find there, as He had this thought, as He had this desire, we see that these things began to come to pass. And the forming of a family began to become true. So we see there between verse 26 and verse 27, we see that the thought moves from the outline of mastery unto the origin of man. Hey, the Bible says there in verse number 27, so God created man in His own image. The Bible says in the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. So we find here, He says there, in My own image I have created both of them. Now the Bible tells us that since we are created in the image of God, that's something that ought to be reserved to be respected. And my friend, in the day and time in which we live, there's many that do not respect the very image of the Most High God. But Genesis chapter 9 and verse number 26 says, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Why? For in the image of God made He man. Hey, I'm a firm believer in capital punishment. Amen. Hey, I'll here tell you, if somebody out of the depths of their heart has anger towards somebody else and they take a life, the Bible says that whosoever sheddeth man's blood, their life ought to be taken. Now, that ain't politically correct in the day and time in which we live, but that's what the Bible says. Amen. And the Bible also teaches over there in the book of Romans, speaking unto the blood-bought church, it says there in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 29. Now everybody knows verse number 28, which says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to what? To the image of His Son. Predestination is not a who, it's not a where, but it's a what. You say, preacher, what has God saved me for? He saved you to be conformed into the image of His precious dear Son. And we find here the Bible teaches us these things about His image. Hey, the image of God is something that needs to be upheld. Hey, the image of God is something that needs to be honored. But my friend, we've got so many folks who are too busy honoring the world and the flesh and the devil to honor a holy God. But God, in His origin of mankind, He said, I'm going to make them in My image. So the Bible says that God created man there in His own image. In the image of God created He him. And He says, male and female created He them. So the Bible tells us there that He made both of them. Now, the Bible goes on further in chapter 2, and some people say that it's a contradiction. Hey, I'll tell you what, my friend, I don't believe the Bible never contradicts itself. Amen. Praise God. Hey, the Bible, it's always true. It's always right. It's always pure. And the Bible, what it says in chapter number 1, I believe that Moses, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he said, I'm just going to make things a little bit clearer in chapter number 2 as to how that God took and formed man. Hey, what's His origin? Look with me in chapter 2 and verse 7. The Bible says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Now, hey, it's just like a potter making a piece of pottery as he takes the clay and takes that and forms it in His own hand into being something that is to be adorned, something that is to be used, something that is pliable, something that can be molded and made into being something that can hold up something else, something that can support somebody else. Hey, God didn't save you just to be whomever you feel like you ought to be. He saved you for a purpose. He created you in His own image. Hey, the Bible says there in chapter number 2 and verse 7 that the Lord God formed man. Hey, that's Yahweh Elohim. That's not only the one true God, but that is the existing God. Amen. Praise His holy name. He's Yahweh. He's Jehovah. He is Elohim. He is the living, creating, sovereign, ruler, and reigner of all things. And He had a desire to form you. Do you realize that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, according to the psalmist? And the Bible says there that God formed man out of the dust of the ground. He formed him. That means to fashion him and to frame him. It's a divine activity that only God can do. Hey, they might say we came from monkeys. They might say that we evolved. But I'll tell you what, that's hoggeth washeth. Amen. That's some good Greek language right there. Hoggeth washeth. Amen. Praise His holy name. God is a God that formed man out of the dust of the ground. And that forming means that He framed it. He fashioned it out of the dust. Now, that dust, think about this. It's dry or loose earth. To many people, it's just rubbish. But God took something that was common. God took something that was just ordinary as we think about it today. But I'll tell you what, you can't make dirt. Amen. Can't make dirt. There's a lot of people think they can make all kinds of things. You can't make dirt. My friend, God took that which He had originally formed as He spoke things into existence, and He picked it up, and He fashioned it, and He formed it, and He framed it, and He took it. The Bible says that which was dry, and that which was without form, that which was just considered rubbish, boy, it takes me back to a place of salvation, amen. What was you before Jesus came along? You was dry, you was filthy, you was rubbish, but God came by, and through the power of the Spirit, with the working of the Word of God, He made you into something. Amen. Praise His holy name. Hey, the forming of the family began there with the outline of mastery. It takes place with the origin of man. For the Bible says that God formed him of the dust of the ground, the earth, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That word breathe that we find there in verse number 7 literally means to breathe or to blow. Now, I know there's some of us, and you probably say, preacher, you're full of all kinds of hot air. You're just full of some. I'll just leave it at that. There's some of you might have a better set of lungs than I do. I know there's some folks in here that's got some pipes back there because they can really sing. Amen? They can sing. My friend, we understand what it means to blow, but think about God in His holiness. God in all of His reverence, God in all of His beauty and all of His splendor, He come down and He took out of the dust of the earth and He picked it up, that which was dry, that which was without form, and the breath of God came by. He began to blow, and that blowing there that we find, for the Bible says that He breathed into His nostrils the breath of life. That breath in the Hebrew is a resemblance unto our Greek word pneuma, first describing the Spirit of the Most High God. And He took that and He breathed into him. And all of a sudden, that which was without form and that which was dry, that which was rubbish, all of a sudden was formed into Adam. All of a sudden was formed into whom man was. And the Bible says there in verse number 7 that he became a living soul. Amen. Hey, the breath of life, that which is lively, that which is active. I believe some folks think that God's just some big boring God that's sitting up there behind some throne up there just looking down and ruling and reigning, and He's not active. Hey, I'm here to tell you what, God is active, and He's alive today, and He's precious unto us as the children of God, as the saints from on high. My friend, God is a God that's active and lively, and He took that and He blew into him, and the Bible says there in verse 7, and man became a living soul. Hey, he's living. Amen. From the time that you were formed and made there and brought about in the mother's womb, and from the time of conception, my friend, you were a living soul. And the Bible says that you are something that's precious, something that is to be honored, something that is to be adored. And my friend, as in the eyes of God, God don't look down upon anybody with a downward nose. God don't look down upon somebody and say, because they don't have this name or that name, because they're not from this country or that country, that they ain't worth nothing. No, God in His original creation, in the origin of man, He gave unto them and allowed them to become a living soul. Hey, everybody is their own person. Everybody that has life, everybody that has that appetite, God formed. So we see the origin of man there in chapter 2 and verse 7. The Bible goes on there and speaks in verse number 18, and it says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. He says, I will make him a helpmeet for him." Praise God. Amen. Hey, the Bible says that God in His origin created Adam. But as He looked out upon Adam, He saw what sad state that Adam was in. He saw how that Adam probably fumbled, how that Adam might have fouled up a thing or two. He said, boy, if anything, anybody needs help, he needs some help. As Adam had been given the job of naming every creature, naming every plant, naming everything that God had created, he probably looked upon them deer, and he said, well, right there's a doe, and right there's a buck. There's two of them. As he looked out upon the cattle, he said, well, right there's a bull, right there's a cow, right there, there's two of them. And as he looked all across the created things that God had made, he saw that they were male and that they were female. But old Adam, he was standing there in solitude. Old Adam, he was standing there all alone. And God looked out upon him and he said, boy, I believe he needs some help. He needs somebody to come along and to be a minister unto him. Somebody to come along and to be an aid unto him. And the Bible says there in verse number 18, it says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." That helpmeet means a succor. It speaks of one who helps. It speaks of one who sustains. You see, Adam, in his original formation, everything that he looked out upon him, he saw that it was good. He saw it was pleasant in the eyes of God. But there was something missing, and he needed somebody to make him complete. And the Bible speaks there and describes what God began to do. Look with me there in verse number 21. The Bible says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And the Bible says, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof." We find the first surgery that ever took place upon God's green earth there in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 21. As the anesthesia of a holy God came upon Adam, and he fell into a deep sleep, and he laid out there on the ground, and God went into him and removed his rib, removed that which was a part of him, removed that which God had formed in the original, and he took it out. And the Bible tells us there in verse number 22 that after God had closed up the flesh and made Adam to become fresh and new again, the Bible says, "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man." Well, only God can do something like that. Amen. Hey, in forming a family, we find the Bible tells us, as we're reminded in chapter 1 and verse number 27, male and female created he them. And the Bible says that God, in His ability and in His omnipotence, in His omniscience, as God knew what would take place, He took out of the side of Adam a rib that He might form a woman. Now, I like what Matthew Henry has to say about that. He said He didn't take her out of the head so that she wouldn't lord over Him. He didn't take her out of Adam's feet that she might be trampled underneath him. But He took her out of Adam's side that she might walk along with him. That she might walk alongside of him, that he might take his arm and oversee her and protect her and preserve her and care for her and nurture her. My friend, hey, a man is not the Lord over a woman. A woman is not the Lord over a man. We've got a lot of folks that think that they run the household and run everything and they make all the decisions. But I want to tell you, when it comes down to it, in the origin of man, as God said, hey, he's made them male and female. They're equal in their image. They're equal in their dominion. Hey, we find that as God goes on and later in the New Testament, we find that each one has their position and their job as to how that they conduct themselves inside the family. But in the origin of man, He made them equal, male and female. And the Bible tells us that there in verse number 22, as well as Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 27. So we see here in the forming of a family, we see the outline of mastery. We see the origin of man. Now, ain't it interesting how that Adam termed that? We see that he says there in verse number 23, he calls her woman, and we find there in verse number 22, but heard men say one time, now I'm sure that as soon as Adam saw her, he said, whoa, man, look at that. Have you ever seen anything so pretty? Have you ever seen anything so beautiful? Hey, he had looked out upon everything that God had created. But whenever she came into being, he looked at her and he saw something special. Amen. He looked at her and he saw something that he had never seen before. And that's exactly what ought to take place between a man and a woman. Praise God. As a man and a husband and a woman being a wife, they ought to come together and have an earnest desire to look upon one another with a special interest, with a special look that you don't have for no other. Hey, we can get a big amen right there. Ought not be looking over anywhere else. Ought not be playing the field. But we ought to look unto those that God has set aside for us. As we see God form that family, all of a sudden we see the outline of mastery. We see the origin of man, but we see the ordinance of marriage. Look what the Bible says in verse number 28, chapter 1. And God blessed them. Boy, ain't it good to be in a place where you can receive the blessings of God? As God looks down and He blesses, that word blessed means to show favor. It means to be adored. Amen. Hey, as we come into God's house, we ought to have one desire, and that ought to be to bless God because He's been so generous unto us. Hey, we ought to want to kneel in His presence and lift up holy hands unto Him and say, God, all glory and honor and esteem needs to be granted unto You. But we find that here that God looked down upon the man and God looked down upon the woman and He blessed them. He adored them. He showed favor unto them. He showed kindness unto him. I want to tell you what, if you'll honor Him and if you'll glorify Him and if you'll exalt Him, hey, God will honor your family. He'll honor your home. He'll honor your marriage. He'll bless you as nobody else can if you allow yourself to fall in the ordinance of marriage as God formed it and fashioned it in the beginning. The Bible says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. That word fruitful that we find there, it means to bear fruit. That's simple, ain't it? That word multiply means to become numerous and to have many. And we know that some have had more than others. Amen? I had a cousin say that his was the Alpha and the Omega, and all of a sudden another one come along. So Omega didn't quite happen, Brother Andy, but I'm pretty certain to say that I have the Alpha and the Omega in my household. I believe we're through, Brother Ronnie. I know some of you have a whole lot more than others. But hey, God said, be fruitful and multiply. And the Bible says there that He quoted in verse number 28 as God spoke to them. And He said, and replenish the earth. That replenishing there is describing, allow the earth to be full, allow the earth to be in abundance, allow the earth to be accomplished and fulfilled in the sight of a holy God. And the Bible says there that God said, and subdue it. That word subdue means to dominate it. Bring that under your submission, make it a subservient as to whom that you are. Hey, we got a lot of earthy people and they've invaded these mountains in the last few years. And some of them call them granolas and other things else. And they think that the earth is there and we ought to honor it. Hey, I'm here to tell you what, the earth was made for man. Hey, we need to take care of what God gave unto us, but there's no reason not to use it. Amen. Hey, God said, man and woman, I want you to subdue the earth. I want you to make it your subservient. And my friend, we've seen that the old timers that come in these mountains 200, 300 years ago, they took the wood and the timber of this land and they allowed it to be used to fashion a house. They allowed the things of the earth to be used to grow, to bring them sustenance, that they might be able to see a family raised and a family grow and a family be supported by the things that were around them. And the Bible here teaches these things. Hey, the Bible says there in verse number 28, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So they subdued it. They dominated that which God had given unto them. Now look with me in verse number 23 of chapter number 2. The Bible says, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. That bone speaks of his essence, his substance, his limbs, his members. And the Bible says, he says, this is now being Eve, as she was later known. Right now she's known as woman and man. And we find the Bible says there in verse number 23, he says, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. The flesh, speaking of the body itself. Now, when we find that God, in His almighty ability, in the ordinance of marriage, that God said, this is male, this is female, this is man, this is woman, this is husband, this is wife, amen. Hey, and I want to bless them. I want them to become one. Hey, I want them to join together, not just physically. That's what a lot of folks think that marriage is all about. It's just a physical union. I want to tell you what, it goes far and above and beyond that. Because for all you've got, the physical union, it's one day going to fizzle. It's one day going to go south. It's one day not going to be there. And my friend, you need to have something a whole lot more being warmed up there in the kitchen than just something else. Hey, I want to tell you what, you need to have something in common. You need to realize that where you stand before God, you make a commitment unto Him. And you say, this right here, my wife is my bone. She's my substance. She's my essence. She's my everything. Hey, we've got too many people looking for the easy way out in the day and time in which we live. Hey, they stand there before a holy God and they make a covenant there before God and everybody else, but it does not last. I believe God in His original formation ordained marriage to be unto death. Now, I know things happen and things go along and divorce is not the unpardonable sin. I don't want anybody to hear me say that. Divorce is not the unpardonable sin. There's forgiveness. But God in His originality, He meant it to last. He meant it to be unto death. And the Bible says there in chapter number 2 and verse number 23, says, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. She is now to be His helpmeet, and she is exactly whom that Adam desired for her to be. That woman right there in verse number 22, that describes literally, 22 and 23, describes her as being the opposite of man. It describes her as being a female. It describes her as being a wife. That means that she's married to a man. For anybody that might be thinking politically correct in the day of time. Hey, we've got a lot of folks who say, this right here is my significant other. And you hear that a whole lot. My significant other. I'll tell you what, God in His originality, He said, if you're going to form a family, there's one man, there's one woman. I don't believe God formed polygamy in the beginning. That's something that somebody come along in a cult or something and ruled out. And I know that there's the argument there with Jacob and Israel and all that. And we can get into a lot of stuff. But I believe God in His originality, He desired that there would be one man and one woman. And we know that wherever folks follow God by faith, we see that'll work. Amen. It'll work. I don't believe that God created Adam and Steve. Amen. God created one man and one woman and allowed them to come together to form a family. I don't believe that two women ought to be forming a family. I don't believe that two men ought to be forming a family. For one thing, it's hard to reproduce that way, Brother Ronnie. It's awful hard for somebody to go about and do what God said as to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth whenever you're in that type of union. So I'm just trying to be pretty blunt, pretty clear here this morning that God honors a man and a woman in marriage. And the Bible says there in verse number 24, now listen, it's good preaching right here. The Bible says in verse number 24, therefore shall a man leave, amen, leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife and they shall be one flesh. Now, I don't believe that God in any way intends us to undermine that commandment that God gave unto Moses on Mount Sinai, which says to honor thy father and thy mother. I believe there needs to be honor and respect and reverence given unto those that made you and formed you. But the Bible says there that a man needs to leave his father and his mother. Now, I'm just going to shoot straight with you. You don't know why a lot of marriages don't work? Because there was never a leaving and a cleaving. There was never a literal leaving of the father and the mother. And we need to realize, hey, that word leave means to depart from. It means to leave behind. Listen to this. It means to let alone. Now, you can call them and talk to them and show them respect and reverence and be a part of each other's lives. But my friend, whenever it comes down to the nitty-gritty between what takes place between a man and a woman, as spouses in holy matrimony, a little squabble takes place, a little feud. I know a lot of you have never had that. I'm speaking from experience, okay? My wife's left out of here in the room for just a moment. I can imagine what's going to be said whenever she comes back in. But I'll tell you what, we have strived not to take anything to anybody else. We keep that between ourselves. And that's worked. Amen, Beth? She's walking back in, kind of blinded. I said a man needs to leave his father and his mother and allow the home to be formed and fashioned between a man and his wife. Now, not only does the man and the wife not need to go and run on the mama's coattails, but mama and daddy's mamas need to cut the apron strings. Amen. Hey, every time that something takes place and goes on, mom and daddy don't need to run over and butt in. Hey, that man and that woman need to leave their father and their mother. And the Bible says they need to cleave unto one another. He says there, and cleave unto his wife. That word cleave means to cling to stay with her, and they shall be as one in number. They're in unity. They're ordained by a holy God in holy matrimony. And the Bible says that they're to stick to one another. And I believe if we'll allow the Bible to say what it says, we'll just line up underneath God's headship and say, God, this is what I want it to be in my home and in my family. And if some men quit trying to dominate and stomp down, and some women quit trying to lord over. I heard a man say, well, you know, I'm the head of the household, and this right here is my wife. She's the neck. And she turns the head everywhere that it needs to go. But if we'll allow ourselves to walk side by side, hand in hand, in unity, one with another, leaving our father and mother, cleaving unto ourselves, my friend, God's going to bless that. He's going to honor that. He's going to adorn that. And He's going to prove it true, and it's going to last. Amen? It's going to last. Hey, it's not easy. And I'll tell you what, I'm wondering what I'm going to get into in preaching a series of messages on the family, because I'm flesh. I'm a human being. I'm no different than you. God is my witness. I've got my faults and I've got my failures. I've got a lot of improvement I need to make. But I'll tell you what, we just need to allow ourselves to study the Word, seek the Spirit, stand upon the Scripture, serve the Savior, and allow Him to do a work in our heart and our life. And the Bible says, and they shall be one flesh. Now, I read over yonder in chapter number 1, those three verses, and I asked Beth yesterday, I said, you know, preaching on this thought, forming a family, you think I'll just jump in and read verse number 25 right off the bat? But then I got to thinking, I'd make a lot of people blush, and I'd probably blush more than anybody else. I probably couldn't stand the glow off Brother Ronnie over here if I was just jump in and read verse number 25, but I'm going to preach it, amen? The Bible says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. They were laid bare, had their birthday suits on. But there was not a bit of shame. There was not a bit of red-facedness about them. There was not a bit of anything to worry about or fret about or have that guilty conscience about, because they knew that they were right in the sight of an almighty God. I want to tell you what, sex outside of the bonds of marriage brings shame. physical relations outside the marriage bed between a man and his wife brings shame. But I'll tell you what, these folks were not ashamed. Why? Because they were in right standing with God. And God was looking down upon them. They were honoring Him. He was honoring them. And my friend, we find that everything worked all right. Amen. So we find here that the Bible just says we just need to serve Him. Ain't got nothing to be ashamed about. Amen. If you're allowing yourself to let God lead and allow the Scripture to be your guidebook, your roadmap. There might be somebody here today that says, "Preacher, I've got some room to work." Might be a man here. I'll just start right there with them because I'm one of them. Might be a man here that says, "Preacher, I need to start rethinking this thing called marriage. I need to study it out and think about what I need to be. I've got years of experience, but I've evidently not been following close to suit as to what God says." Maybe a woman has that same mindset. Maybe some folks will say, "Well, preacher, I just want to be an example for others around me as a godly husband, as a godly wife, as a godly family." And you just need to surrender yourself, submit yourselves unto a holy God. Maybe somebody here this morning that's lost, needs to be saved. I encourage you to come. Or maybe somebody that just says, "Preacher, I'm tired of being what I am, tired of living the way I am. I need to get things right. I need to honor You." I don't know what your need is this morning, but this is what God laid on my heart to share. That's what I've shared. Maybe somebody that needs to work on their marital relation. And you don't have to do that right here inside of your church family. You might need to do that at home, privacy there between you and your spouse. But God spoke to your heart there. I just tell you, do what He asked you to do. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning.